But a little bit different this morning, a little disclaimer. Yesterday I was, I normally give a disclaimer before I preach, but this one's a little bit different. Yesterday I came over, and I'm a procrastinator. I usually set up my stuff for Sunday on Saturday, right? I usually get ready for the service, and then sometimes Sunday morning I'm kind of running around like a chicken with my head cut off. I'm just a procrastinator by nature. Adrenaline gets me going, gets me, you know, performing at a high level. But if you ever see me in the same shirt as I am in the announcement videos, you know, I filmed it that morning. We just popped it up there as quick as we could. But really, I have a different kind of thing. Yesterday, I came and I was installing a computer in the sound booth, a new computer, and I was in here late last afternoon and last night. And my dad came over and kind of followed me in at one point late last night. And he said he had gone to Lake After Hours, and he had a respiratory infection and something that had traveled to his ear as well. And he had his sickness, and he was on. He was like, you know, I'm really sick. I don't think I can go in the morning. And I was like, what? And he said, you know, do you think you could preach my message? I made a message, but do you think you could preach it for me? And I was like, all right, you know, that'd be fun. We'll try that out, you know. I mean, we'll try it. So he gave me his notes, and I kind of held him like this. I was like, you know, how sick are you? you've been breathing all over. No, so I made photocopies, and then I rewrote. You know, so we're three pages removed from that. But anyway, we're going to try that this morning. It's not the first time that I've done this, actually, preach one of the hymns. In the third grade, I was in a Wednesday night Bible study with Mr. Ken Bork here. He taught the middle school Wednesday night boys, a great class, and he let me preach one night, one Wednesday night, first time I'd ever preached. And so I went in my dad's office, 8 years old, and I went through the stacks, and I pulled one, and I took it over there, and I preached it, and it was the best sermon, I mean, the best sermon you've ever heard, most powerful, moving, me and all the other eight-year-olds, and it was going great. It was on blind Bartimaeus. I remember it to this day. I'll never forget it. It was going great until I got to the object lesson. You know, my dad always likes to do object lesson, and this one involved, you know, bringing people up, so I invited everybody up to do that, and it was just pandemonium, it was chaos, and so everything broke down after that. We ended the sermon early, we had an altar call, and that was it. But that was my first time that I've tried it. But I want, you know, I just wanted to tell you guys that, and also, you know, this is good for, personality. I'm very quick to learn something, do it, and move on. So if I have the whole week to prepare a sermon, sometimes I get tired of it by Sunday. You know, there's no enthusiasm there. I'm like, oh, you know, that point. By the time you guys hear it, I've read it 1,000 times and I'm done. I want something new, right? And so, especially the second service, I've already preached it. I'm done. Lord, give me new. But there's no enthusiasm. So if you see me through here, I'm gonna be finding stuff. I'm gonna be learning along with you. You know, we're gonna. I'll be saying, if that's good, you know, preach that, Pastor. So. But we're gonna try this out this morning, and remember the source is still the same. This is still God's word for our church. This is still what it is. And the biggest reason that He wanted me to preach this is we're starting a new series called First, and we wanted to kick it off on this year. And we're going to be looking at all the different times in the Bible where instructions or remedies start with this word first. Seek ye first, look first, put first the kingdom. These things that where it starts with first, and that's our new series. And so this morning, we're going to kick it off with part one. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord. God, that it doesn't matter what the mouthpiece is, Father. It's still you speaking. Lord, I thank you that we still come here expecting great things, Lord. We still come here, Father, after your heart. And God, I ask you just to speak this morning, Lord. I thank you so much, Lord, that you can move us out of the way and let your word do the talking. I thank you so much for this message for everybody here, God, as we go into these 21 days of fasting and prayer. God, I ask you to let us keep open hearts, God, and seek after you. Like I said, this morning starts our series first, and we're going to begin in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. First of all, I urge. First, the prayers come first. First of all, I urge that prayers be made. There's two things I want you to keep in mind today. This morning, first, we're 4 days into the new year, right? 2015. Some of you have remade, broken resolutions already. You know, some of you are done with this year. Bring on 2016. You know, I've had enough. I'm out of here. Some of you still think we're in 2014. Some of you just skipped the week altogether. Actually, when the dateline crossed, I was going up between Eastern and Central Time. I was on the highway going north towards Chicago when the New Year's passed over, and so I was in Central Time around 11:40-ish, 11:45, and then I crossed to Eastern, and it was 12:45, so I missed it. There was no change for me. 2015, here we go. I lost 45 minutes, so that's why I'm in a rush this morning. I'm kind of make those back as we go along. But remember, we're 4 days in, and the second thing is we're starting these 21 days of prayer and fasting. We're so excited about these, right? This is a great time. There's a lot of different times during the year to do these re-kickoffs, do a lot of different things, but this is a time to make this next year mean something. This is really a time to start asking God for new things. And we're going to be meeting every night of the week from 6 to 7, and then on Sunday mornings at 8:30. So it's really easy to remember. Any night of the week, 6 to 7, and Sundays in the morning at 8:30. We're going to be meeting. We're going to be doing the same thing, bringing the curtains up. Last time it was so awesome, guys. We met up here on the stage. We brought the curtains up. We had like a prayer room with music. We had like 100 people show up. It's just an awesome time to praise God. So mark your calendars for tomorrow night, and then every night of the week we're just going to be praying. It's only an hour long, guys. But you want to have something different for this year. And I wanted to make my first point. If you want something different for this year, you have to do something different. Remember the popular definition of insanity? I know you've heard it 100 times. Insanity is doing something the same time over and over and expecting different results. If you want something different, you have to do something different. And we're going to go in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. If we could, we can clear the background on the TV just so it's black on there, a little easier for me to read. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live... And everyone say this last two words with me. Now we live with great expectation. For this 2015, I don't know what you're expecting, what you plan to be expecting, but up your expectations. Have great expectations for this year. Because God wants to answer it. He wants to meet you there. And we're going to learn about fasting and praying this morning. He wants to answer that call, but you have to have great expectations for a year. We wait with great expectation. If you haven't even thought about what you're expecting this year, I encourage you this morning, as we go through these principles, there's not a better time than right now to start thinking about what you expect out of your life for yourself, for your family. We're going to do it as a church in these 21 days, what we expect God to do, how we expect God to move. And in Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Why is it so important we do this fast at the beginning of the year? We seek first the kingdom of God. We seek first, and these things are added. You want health. You want direction. You want guidance. You want prayer for your family. You want things. God is saying all these things are part of the kingdom. All these things that you're seeking after. But seek first my heart. And that's what we're doing. The 21 days, we're fasting, and we're praying, and we're seeking God. We're seeking God first. Some of you, I can already tell, some of you think you picked the wrong service to show up at service. And so you say, I start my new year next year, I'll show up again. But I want to encourage you, even if you came in here thinking, I'm never going to fast again, I'm not going to do it. That's my job this morning, is to convince you of the need for a fast. And the miracles that God can do when we fast and pray. Because amazing things happen when the church fasts and prays. Let's look in Acts in chapter 13, verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I had called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. After fasting and praying, I love this verse because they get the assignment, they get the call. And then it says, after they got that, they still keep fasting and praying. It's like they started fasting and they're like holding on, like we're going to get everything. If we're going to start fasting, we're going to get everything out of it. So they keep fasting even after they get the assignment. And I think some of you know we're going to start this 3-week fast, and you're come back Monday night. God spoke to me already. Call off the fast. Call it off. I'm done. Excuse me. You're going to come back in here and say, God already spoke to me. It's over. But I want you to encourage you. Go the full 21. Keep seeking God. But Paul, the greatest missionary in the church, gets his assignment. And every assignment has a birthplace. Every assignment that you have is going to have a birthplace somewhere. Let this be the birthplace for your assignment for this year. Or it might be greater. God might give you an assignment like with Paul that's going to last the rest of your Christian life. The rest of your life. You don't know, because in these 21 days, I want to encourage you to get your assignment from God. So many Christians, you feel like you're perpetually asking, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And I want to just encourage you this morning. You fast, and God brings the assignment. It doesn't go, you don't get it, and then suddenly, you hit up against another wall, and you try to do it your own way, you try to do it, and then you say, well, hey, I'm here now, and I'm going to fast now, and see what God really meant. But I'm encouraging you, start it off with a fast. If you feel kind of adrift, if you go to your job every day, You come to church every Sunday, but you feel like, hey, my spiritual life is in the same spot. Because I want to encourage you to look back in January of 2014 and then look at yourself today and see what changed during the year. You know, we talked about it. If you want something different, you have to do something different. Or where you saw yourself in 2013 as opposed to 2014, did anything change? Was there an assignment from God? Was there anything different? Was God still speaking to you? Was God still pouring into your life? You ask, what do I do? What do I do? I'm telling you, you fast and then God gives you your assignment. And, you know, I want you to keep one question as we go through all these this morning, one question in mind, and that is, what is your motives? What are your motives this morning? And I appreciate that you're going to lose weight. For some of you, I think this is like the healthiest decision you've made in the last 2 months, right? You know, you've stuffed yourself for the holidays and now you're fasting. I appreciate that is a side effect, but that's not a good reason to fast. I know there's health reasons. There's books in Barnes & Noble. There's a whole section devoted to it. There's on Amazon. You can find them. Authors who have devoted all their writings to the benefits of the fast and the health benefits and detox and resetting your body and all that great stuff. And more power to them. Let them write the books. But that's not a good reason to fast. It might be a physical reason. Do your fast on your own time. But for a spiritual reason, what are your motives? Why are you fasting? What's your motive going to be? Some of you are saying, you know, I'll do it, but actually I won't do it, but I'll just fake like I'm doing it because everybody else is doing it. You know, that's my motive. And, you know, you have the look down like, you don't come out and say you're fasting because you might be lying, but you kind of, you know, kind of rub your stomach, or you have the face of a fast. You know, the Bible talks about that. You have your face downcast and people fake you're fasting. You know, just because everyone else is doing it, I'm going to fake it. It's not a good reason to fast. You know, we had a fast at my freshman dorm in college. We had about 80 guys of us, so we decided we were going to fast. And most stupidest, most unproductive fast I've ever been a part of. I mean, it was the worst. We decided we were going to fast. Like I said, about 75 of us ended up signing up for it. All living together in the same building. But we had no motive. We had no reason. We're just like, we're going to fast. You know, the year started. We're going to do this. It's spiritual sounding. We're going to do it. And we spent those 72 hours doing nothing but talking about food. Like, all we talked about was food. Like, how hungry we were. Who ate what? What did you eat 3 days ago? Did you eat something good 3 days? Tell me about it. Describe it to me. Where did you eat? We just talked about food. And we had these 60-minute intervals that we signed up for to go into our prayer room of the dorm and to pray. So we had every hour covered, right? Every second of the day covered with super spiritual prayer. And I'll tell you, I went in my 60 minutes. I laid on the couch about 2 in the morning, 2:30 in the morning. I laid on the couch and I just thought about food. I thought about how stinking hungry I was. And how. And my roommate and I, we had bunk beds, and I would lay on the bottom and he lay on top. And 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, you awake? Yeah. You hungry? Yeah. Are you really hungry? And like, that was our conversation. There was nothing that came out of this fast. We had no motive. We had no reason to do it. And honestly, I was telling this to the first group. I stopped asking for like a blessing for it. I was just kind of hoping God forgot about that one. Like, it's like a neutral, like a big wash, right? Like I have no stars in my crown for that fast. I have no, you know, no rewards for me in heaven for that fast. But I'm kind of hoping he doesn't hold it against me. I'm hoping we're just neutral, right? Just let it be a great big wash. Let's forget it ever happened. But we never had a motive. We never had a reason. And just to finish up that story, they ordered us 120 pizzas at the end of it for 70 of us, right? So you can do the math, almost 2 pizzas. And, you know, if you've ever seen the logistics of, you ever been on a 3-day fast, you didn't eat anything and all ate water, and then you stuffed your face with 2 large pizzas, it was, for an hour, it was bliss. Like, we were the happiest people on earth. And then after an hour, it was just the plague hit. I mean, it was 80 guys in every, I don't want to get gross on Sunday, every toilet and thing, just throwing up everywhere. We were like, we're never fast again. There's no good in fasting. I'm never doing this. And we were sick for a day. I missed my classes the next day. We were sick for a day. So maybe God did hold it against us. You know, you never know. But no, there is motives to fasting. There's a reason. Because if you look in the Old and the New Testament, they never fast without a reason. If you look at the Old Testament Jews, if you look at the New Testament Christians, they always fast and pray with a motive. They always fast and pray for some reason. They're looking for something from God. Because if prayers are our relationship with God, if prayers are the conversation with God, then fasting is almost like shouting in his ears. Fasting is like raising the volume of the discussion. And if you don't have a reason for that, it's futile, right? Have you ever been in an argument and someone just raised their voice for no reason? Like, they kept saying the same thing they were saying, but they raised their voice because now it's going to, you know, it's going to persuade you even further because now I'm talking louder, or I'm talking, you know, with my caps lock button on. It's going to really convince you. No, but if you raise your voice, if you're going to shout with a fast, have something to say. Have a reason, have a motive. Let's look in Zechariah chapter 7. Say to all the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the 5th month and in the 7th for these 70 years, was it for me that you fasted? This is amazing. For 70 years, they set aside these days to fast. For 70 years, they have been doing this twice a year to fast. And God comes after and he says, was it for me that you fasted? You know, I might have asked, you know, God, couldn't you have come, you know, year 20 and asked this, year 25, you know, 70 years they've been doing this. And God is almost saying, like, what was it for? Were you after me? What are you after with your fast? God wants to know if you're after his agenda, his kingdom. I'm going to go through a lot of different reasons for fasting, but in every single one of them, remember that we're going after his kingdom. God wants to know why you're fasting. And you know, like I said, I'm going to give you these big overarching reasons, but it's up to you to find a specific reason for you. You can pick two or three, but I encourage you to find at least one. Because the miracles that God does with a fast, he won't do in any other ways a lot of times. A lot of times a fast opens doors that are shut to any other type of prayer. A prayer and a fast is one of the greatest weapons that a Christian has. It's one of the greatest things that you have. It's the way, if you have something, and we're going to go through all of these, if you have something, this is your way to have your breakthrough. First one is if you're in a crisis or trouble. Remember, these are reasons to fast. A crisis or trouble. Esther 4 and verse 16. Go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf. And do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. You know the story of Esther, right? She's about to go up against the king's right-hand man, Haman. He's about to extinguish the Jews. She's going to fight for her people. She has no hope. She said, if I perish, I perish. She has no hope that the king is even going to, you know, recognize her. Or if he does recognize her, she's not going to take her word over his right-hand man. So she calls this fast. What crisis are you in for the new year? I don't know you personally. You know, I don't know your inner things. We, you know, unless you've shared it with me. I don't know what trouble you're bringing into this new year, what trouble you've gone through, what trouble your family might be in. Whatever crisis it is, bring it before God. Use this fast, use this prayer, use these 21 days to bring it before God. Give God a shot before you try to do your own plans, before you try to bring your own skill set into it, before you try to go at it as hard as you can, beat yourself against the rock. Give God a shot. Give God a chance to prove himself. Whatever crisis you're in, do like they did in the Bible. Pray and fast and bring it before God. I love the story in the Old Testament. One of the kings of Judah, he brings, there's a king that comes against him, sieges the land, and sends these letters in that says, I've destroyed all these other gods. Who is your God? How is he going to stand against me? And the king of Judah, he takes this letter and he goes into the temple and he spreads it before God. He spreads it out before him, this letter that this other king has written him, this letter against the God of Israel. He spreads it out before him and he says, God, we don't know what to do. But our eyes are on you. And he puts it before us. So I encourage you this morning, bring your trouble. If you have to get a physical representation of it, do that. Whatever your crisis is, spread it before God. Give God a chance at it. The second one this morning, a second reason for fasting is understanding. Understanding God's vision for your life. You know, if you've ever heard me preach, I don't know how many times I've preached in my life, but I would guess 80% of them I preach on vision. Because I think it's so important that God has a purpose, God has a vision for everyone. We're looking at Daniel chapter 10, verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. And this is called the Daniel fast, right? You've heard of it. You didn't think. And it's amazing when this comes up because people follow this to the lead. It's amazing when this comes up what people come up with to kind of match this. People come up with these questions to kind of cheat on this. And I took the three that I like the best, and we're going to read them this morning. The first one, is it cheating if I drink it? So it doesn't matter, you know, what it is. Am I cheating on my fast if I drink it? You know, you pull out your magic bullet. And that kind of goes with the second one. Will it blend? There was a guy, you know, he said, I'm keeping to my Daniel fast. I'm not eating meat. I just put it all in the blender and I drink the smoothie down and, you know, I put all that meat in there, everything I want to eat, and I blend it down and I drink it, and that keeps me on the thing. And the final one is fish meat. These are the ways people come up with the nuttiest stuff to come around these fasts, but we're going to say how it is. It's water, vegetable, fruits, right? This is how you bring your body into submission. And the Bible talks about, you know, men with itching ears, they want to hear lies. There are people who tell you whatever, you know, whatever you want to hear. They'll give you a fast that does, you know, whatever you want it to do. But we're going to do a real one this year. But Daniel is spoken to by the angel because God has this vision for Israel. And in verse 14, this angel talking. He said, I came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision is for days yet to come. You know, Habakkuk, it says, wait, the vision is coming, right? It's going to come to pass. God has a vision for every life here. I said it during the worship service. If you're listening online, I don't care if you're watching a replay a year from now and you hear these words. God has a vision for every single person. God has a purpose for every single person in here. What you're going to accomplish. And being able to understand that vision, what career route you're going to take, who you're going to marry. God has a vision for everyone. You know, the first fast found in the Bible is actually concerning a marriage, and it's in Genesis 24. Abraham sends his servant to find a wife for Isaac. And I was thinking as I read this, it's hard enough to find your own spouse, right? Hard enough to find your own. I can't imagine trying to find, you know, one for somebody else. I know a lot of you mothers are shaking your heads at me saying, you know, it's easy. I find it for my kids. I know who they're going to marry. No, but it's hard enough to find your own spouse, right? And this guy's got to go find a spouse for Isaac, for his master's son. And so if you read it, it says, Eleazar, he fasts for a day and then he goes. He fasts for a day and then he goes to look and he finds Rebekah. Daniel fasted to obtain the vision. And another word for this here, another word for this understanding is clarity. It's bringing about the know-how to bring the vision to pass. So many times God will give a vision, he'll cast the vision, and it's kind of unclear for you. Or you have that feeling, you know this is God's will, but you don't really see how to make it come to pass. How to have that breakthrough. And I want to encourage you this morning, a lot of you, you're looking for that breakthrough. You're looking for that next step to make the vision become clear. And there's a story I love in 2 Samuel where David conquers this Philistine city, and he describes the battle, and he says, the Lord has broken through like a flood. And they go on, and they name that city Baal-perazim. And it literally means the God of the breakthrough. The God of the breakthrough. And so a lot of you this morning, you're looking for a breakthrough. And fasting is going to position you to get that breakthrough. Fasting and praying is what puts you in the position for God to give you the breakthrough. So over these 21 days, I want to encourage you to pray as if you're expecting, the great expectations, you're expecting God to break through. Number three this morning, a reason for fasting, a checkup. You know, if you don't fast for any other reason, do this one. In Leviticus 23, verse 27, also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls. And I like the King James Version, right? This is the fasting part. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. You know, if you're doing this and someone at work asks you, you know, what you're doing, you can go with this one. I'm afflicting my soul, and depending on who it is, I might either, you know, start the conversation or shut down the conversation with a quickness. But I like how the King James says, Jeremiah 36 and 6. So you are to go and on a day of fasting and read the roll, which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. Upon the fasting day, God told them to set aside this day to have their checkup, to see where they were. And all of you, you know, most of you, you do this, right? Regularly with like a doctor, you do a medical check. Some of you should, right? Some of you should do a medical checkup. And most of you, again, some of you should, you check your car. You take it in for a moment. How much more your spiritual life? How much more should you do your checkup every year? And this is the way to do it with a fast. During these 21 days, I encourage you to look inside yourself. Look at your spiritual body. Obviously, your spirit, your flesh body is going to be crying out a lot, right? But the fast is there to subdue it. And this gives you a chance to look at your spiritual body. Number four reason to fast, God's promises. Every one of you, God has promised something. I know this goes along with vision, with the clarity of it, but God has promised you specific things that haven't come to pass. A lot of you, God has said things in your life. He's promised you things that there's no haze, there's no unclear unsurety. He said things to you, whether it's through a prophet, whether it's through his word, whether it's just into your heart in your prayer time. He said things to you and they didn't happen. And you became jaded, or you became misguided, or maybe you were more mature, or maybe you just kind of shrugged it off, but you came to believe that nothing is really ever going to happen. And I want to read you a story from the Old Testament. Let's look at this. It's in Judges chapter 20. And they're going to war. Just to give you the backstory, a city in the tribe of Benjamin had become corrupt, perverted. They had committed these acts, and the rest of the tribes were going to come punish the city, but the tribe of Benjamin refused to give up the city to the other tribes of Israel. And so they went to war over it. And so the tribes of Israel gathered to war, and the people of Israel rose and went up to Bethel and inquired of God, who shall go up first for us to fight against the people of Benjamin? Remember, the Lord answers them. The Lord said, Judah shall go up first. Judah shall go up first. The people of Benjamin came out of Gibeah and destroyed on that day 22,000 men of the Israelites. 22,000. So the Israelites go and they pray. They say, Lord, we're going to war. God, here we are. Who's going first? They're excited, right? We're going to God. We're inquiring of him. And the Lord said, Judah, send Judah first. And I'm sure they're dancing and they're singing and they're playing the tambourines. God's spoken to them. Send Judah first. They send Judah out there and 22,000 of them die. And they come staggering back. And let's go to the next verse. They come staggering back and the people of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until the evening. Notice there's a new ingredient each time. They wept before the Lord and they inquired of the Lord, shall we again draw near to fight against our brothers, the people of Benjamin? And the Lord said, go up against them. They asked God. God had told them, go up. He said, Judas, go in first. They go back again. They lost, 22,000. They go back again. They say, go up again. And Benjamin went against them again out of Gibeah the second day and destroyed 18,000 men of the people of Israel. That's 40,000 are dead doing what God told them to do. There's no, misguided clarity here. The Bible isn't vague about this. They went to seek God, and they asked him, and he said, go up, send Judah first. And they went, and they lost 22,000. He said, go again. And they said, and I think a lot of you, God has given you this promise. God has brought these promises, and you went, and you did it, and disaster hit. And you became so jaded that you said, I'm never going to pull that promise back out. It's never going to happen. If it didn't happen that time, it's never going to happen. I went and I did it. God gave me this promise. I went and I did it. And so let's go back in, though. The children of Israel a third time. Then all the people of Israel, everybody, the whole army, went up and came to Bethel and wept. They sat there before the Lord and what? Fasted that day. Look at what they added to this story. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And you read, the next time they win the battle. They go out and they completely destroy, almost completely destroy the tribe of Benjamin off the face of the earth. They added the fast. And I think some of you, it's time during these next 21 days, you have these promises from God that you tried once before or twice before and it ended in disaster. You have these promises that you tried to do. Promises from God, not vague, promises from God, and it's time to pull them back out, to dust them out. In these 21 days, I want you to find one of those and to pull it back out and redo it. Because God is saying, when you put a fast, when you fast and pray, God does things that won't happen if you don't. You remember the story in the New Testament when the disciples can't cast out the demon. And Christ said, this one only comes out by fasting and praying. They were still doing what God had told them to do, how he had instructed them. They were casting it out in his name. They were trying, they're doing all these things, but they bring him and they say, we can't do this one. And he says, this one only by fasting and praying. Some of you have promises in your life that are only going to come about by fasting and praying. You have breakthroughs in your life that are only going to come about by a fast. And I want to encourage you, if something ended in disaster, but you knew it was from God, pull it back out. Because 2015 is the year you get your breakthrough and the year that God comes through on that promise. If you're willing to fast, you're willing to pray, and you're willing to seek him. God has said these things to you. And number five, lifting judgment. You might be sitting there this morning, you're saying there's nothing wrong with me, but I want to encourage you, listen to me here. There's a new one for you. Lifting judgment. The king of Ahab in 1 Kings 21, he says to Elijah, have you found me, O my enemy? I love Ahab's sentences to be getting to people. He says it to all the different people. It's real fun. If you go back and read all the things he says when he opens his lines. He's not a great conversation starter. Have you found me, my enemy? He answered, I found you because you have sold yourself to do what is evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring disaster upon you. I will utterly burn you up and will cut you off from Ahab, every male, bond and free. I will make your house like that. Okay, you get it. It's a bad prophecy, right? It's a terrible prophecy. You read it. Dogs are going to eat you in the gates. Dogs are going to eat you out the gates. Jezebel's getting eaten by, everybody getting eaten by dogs. It's just a terrible prophecy. It's not a good one. But let's get forward to what Ahab does. And it might surprise you what he does on this one. And when Ahab heard those words, he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went about dejectedly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Ahab repents. He knows right from wrong, right? He knows what he needs to do. He goes back and he fasts and he prays. The most wicked king in the history of Israel, the one who does more to incite God with the most wicked queen alongside of him, even he repents and fasts. And look what happens. God tells Elijah, have you seen how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he humbled himself, I will not bring the disaster in his days, but in his son's days I will bring the disaster upon his house. The most wicked king in the history of Israel fasts and repents, and God relents. A fast lifts the judgment. And I want to encourage you this morning, even if it's not for you, if there's someone in your life who knows right from wrong and they're still living in sin, there's someone who you've been trying to reach and they're still living in it and the judgment is coming. Now hear me carefully. There is a deadline. There is a deadline in God, but thank God we have nothing to do with it, right? We have no choice in the matter. It's not us deciding when that deadline is for a specific person. That's not on us. On us is to love people and to spread the mercy and gospel of God. And we pray. And it says, when a fast and a prayer, God lifts a judgment. Now, what does that do? That gives a chance. When the judgment is lifted, it gives a chance for the mercy of God to reach that person. It gives them a shot. So whether it's for you or not, whether it's for someone else these 3 weeks, bring their name before God. And add something in there, on the flip side of that, if there's someone that you absolutely can't stand, there's someone that you don't even, you know, you don't even share the gospel with because, you know, in the back of your mind, you're kind of hoping they don't find Jesus. If there's someone you can't stand, I want to encourage you these 3 days, bring their name before God. You know they're headed for a judgment. You probably thought about it happily in your mind, what judgment they're headed for. I want to ask you this 3 weeks, maybe pray for that. Bring their name before God, because a fast and a prayer lifts the judgment and the mercy of God can reach them. There's a chance for everyone. There's a chance. So I want you these 21 days to find two people. Again, one person that you can't stand and one person that you've been praying for. And begin to bring their name before God. The sixth thing this morning is healing. A lot of you are thinking the opposite when I said fast. You're thinking, you know, if I don't eat for 3 days or if I don't eat for a day, some of you might not even make it to 1 o'clock today. No, but if I don't eat for that, I'm going to get sick. But I want to encourage you this morning with fasting, healing. In Isaiah 58, healing is one of the paramount things that comes about by prayer and fasting. In Isaiah 58, it's the fasting chapter, and God lays out what he actually means by fast, what he actually means for you to do. Because the fast is one thing, but then if you go out and you're the same afterwards, he says, what kind of fast was that? But in Isaiah 58, he lays it out, free, you know, lift the yoke, free the bondage. He lifts out a lot of different things, and then it says what's going to happen for you if you do the correct fast. Your healing shall spring up speedily. It's going to spring forth speedily. If you're praying for healing, I want to encourage you to take these 21 days and let that be the reason, the motive for your fast. If that's been something you've been carrying in 2014, or maybe you've carried it for years, let these 21 days be a time that you fast and you bring it before God. I don't want you to do anything that your doctor tells you not to do. You know, I don't want, if you're on medication, you take your medication. If you need food with that medication, you take that. That's not what I'm saying. You know, fast something different. You can replicate something in there, something else that's going to subjugate your body. But if you're looking for healing, this is the time, these 21 days, to bring it before God. Number 7 is dominion. If you need dominion over something, and this one's just kind of an interesting one. I said this in the first one, I don't want to stake my theological reputation on this, but I thought it was interesting. We lost dominion, right, in the garden. We lost it by eating. The physical representation, I know it was the disobedience, but the physical representation of it, right, was Adam eating. Adam eating of the forbidden fruit. That's how we lost dominion. When Jesus comes on the scene, how does he get it back? 40 days and 40 nights he fasts. Before he starts his ministry, that's how Christ gets the dominion back. 40 days and 40 nights he fasts. We lost it by eating. Esau lost his birthright by eating. Again, it's not that eating is a sin. It's just this is the physical representation the Bible uses. These are how the stories happened, was eating. Esau lost it by eating. The children of Israel lost the promised land because they couldn't control their stomachs, right? They wanted more than manna. God gave them enough to eat, God gave them, and they wanted more. They wanted quail. Give us quail. We want quail. We want quail. And God told them, you're going to die with it in your mouth. You want meat? You want meat? I'll give you meat, but you're going to die with it on the fringes of the promised land. Is meat worth giving up the God's promise? Is meat worth giving up the promise of God? Is it? And you say, you know, it's kind of a hard thing. You know, I can give it up anytime I want. You know, this is just a hard sermon. But, you know, if I wanted to, I could fast this. I could fast fast food, give up hamburgers, give up whatever. I encourage you, do it 1 week. See if you can. See if you're able to give up whatever it is that's in your back of your mind that says, well, you know, I could give that up, but I'm just not going to. I'm bigger than that. I'm going to give up something else. Try it for 1 week, because everything that you cannot give up controls you. Everything that you cannot give up controls you. Find out what controls you this week. Find out what's in the throne of your life. What's sitting up there? Is it your flesh? Because if it is, you can take it off with a fast. You can dethrone your flesh with a fast. 21 days, 3 weeks, that's all it takes. And you're able to have these breakthroughs. You're able to take back dominion in your life. Fasting makes you tough in the spirit. Fasting toughens you up. Number 8, a right way. And we're going to read this verse in Ezra, and this is going to be the last one that we read this morning. We're going to take the last points from this. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might, you tell what version of the Bible we're in, we might afflict ourselves before God to seek of him a right way for us. I don't know what decisions you're at this week, this year. I don't know what crossroads you've come to. I don't know what decision you're about to make, what decision maybe you made already, what decisions you're going to have to make. But I encourage you, every major decision, make with a fast in prayer. Not minor decisions, you know, do I brush my teeth this morning? Do I brush my teeth tonight? I'll make those for you. Make you brush your teeth. If you know, not minor decisions, you're not asking God every little thing that comes into your head for these kind of decisions. That's not what I'm talking about. Major decisions, never make them without a word from God, without fasting and praying and seeking God. People take job opportunities. People take different things like this just on the drop of a hat. No prayer, no seeking God. And I'm going to tell you, if you make a decision without God's guidance, it's a fool's game. Because you're going to take that job, it pays a little more on this side, or the grass is greener on that side, and there's 100 pitfalls you didn't see. If you rely only on your own wisdom, if you make all these decisions for you, for your family, if you make all these decisions, remember, it's not just you that suffers. It's your family if you make the wrong one. And I encourage you, God is waiting to help you. God is waiting at the crossroads. They call the fast. They encourage him for a right way. We need a right way to go. Whatever crossroads you've come to, because I want to tell you again, you know, not all that glitters is gold. Not everything that you're going to pick just because it passes the eye test is going to be the right decision. The next part of this verse, for our substance, and that's at the end there. Notice it doesn't say our luxuries. It doesn't say for all the things we really, really, really want. It says for our substance. That's what we seek God for in this fast. So for this next year, what you need. What you need. That's what we seek God for. It's what we're going to do as a church. The finances, the outreach opportunities, what we need as a church, that we're going to seek God for that in these 21 days. That's what we're looking for. What you need as a family. What do you need for your substance? This could be financial. How many of you pray for... Actually, that'd be a better question. How many of you don't pray for money? I think that'd be a lesser thing. I think we all pray for it. But God knows what you need. Pray for your substance. Pray for the things that keep you going. And finally, this morning, I kind of changed around the verse a little bit. I chose this one for last because I think it's the most important. And for our little ones. For our little ones. If you're not going to fast for anything else, fast for your children. If you're not going to pray for anything else in these 3 weeks, pray for your children. Because God is able to set up a generational foundation when you pray for your children. You know, we talked about the lifting the judgment, and that was a separate reason. But this goes further than that. This goes for the vision God has for them, for the vision God has for your family. And I wanted to say this, and this gets done cliched to the max. People say this over and over, and we kind of lost the thing. But your kids and your grandkids go through a lot more than you did when you grew up. I know my kids. I've got two boys now under two. And I'm already thinking about school and different things for them and what they're going to come in contact with. Because, you know, technology advances have done great things. I know all about that. You know, the globe is shrinking. World economy is technology advanced. We've connected the world. And it's enabled us to do a lot of things, but it's enabled a greater sin and perversion than we've ever seen. It's enabled kids at a younger age to come in contact with a greater sin and perversion, because they're going to walk through a darkness that's a lot darker than what you had to walk through. It's a truth. Like I said, we cliche it up. We say that a lot, but it's the truth. They're going to walk through things that you never had to deal with, that you never had to come in contact with. Every 5 years, every 10 years, it's, you know, technology at the pace it's going, how connected we are. Everything in your house is connected. Your fridge is on the internet. Everything's online, right? Everything's doing stuff. People in Washington know what you microwaved last night for your movie. People know what you're doing, but everything is connected, and your kids have to walk through that. And so with this verse, we pray for our little ones. Isaiah talks about, in 58 again, the fasting chapter, it talks about those blessings that comes, and it says, for your generation and generation and generation after you. You lay the foundation. You know, and I wanted to talk to you this morning, even if your family is not, you know, is not some spiritual juggernaut, even if there's no legacy at all, you know, you're the first couple, you and your wife, or you and your husband, the first ones in church. You're the first ones to make the decision for Christ. You have no, there's not, you know, some grandmother praying for everyone. There's not anything like that. I encourage you, let it start with you. Let that legacy start with you. You be the one that starts, because every single family that you see that has a spiritual legacy, everyone that you see, hey, I want to be like them, or they have those generational things, someone in that family tree made the decision, hey, I'm going to set a foundation for my family. Somewhere it started, right? Somebody decided, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We're going to do things for God. Let that be you. I don't care if no one else in your family is saved. Obviously, you're going to work on that, bring that in the fast. But if no one else, let that be you. Let you lay the foundation. And then that becomes a generation to generation. I read a story when I was younger, and I never forgot one character in the story. I don't remember the rest of the story. I remember the one character. And this guy was growing walnut trees, black walnut trees. And I looked at it when I was younger. It just caught my mind. I just thought it was an interesting thing. And the reason he grew them were because black walnut trees are one of the most lucrative trees that you can grow. When you cut down a black walnut tree, one veneer log of a black walnut tree can go for $4,000 or $5,000. $4,000 or $5,000. It's a very lucrative business. But the individuals who grow them, not the companies that do it, but the individuals who grow them, they call them legacy trees. Because in order for a black walnut tree to get big enough to cut it down for that log takes 30 years or more. for that thing to grow. And so the ones who are planting them, the ones who are tending them, aren't doing it for themselves. A lot of times the ones who plant the grow, let's say you do in your 40s, your 50s, this isn't for like their retirement in their 80s. This is for their kids. This is their, they call them legacy trees. And so I encourage you in your own life, start planting these. Start planting a spiritual tree. Start laying the foundation. Let it start with you. As we fast and pray for these 21 days, decide what you want your family's legacy to be. And let it start with you. Bring those names before God. Tomorrow night, 6 to 7, we're going to be right up here on this stage. Everybody's going to be up here. We're all going to be crying out before God. I like that song we sang, "To Our God We Lift Up One Voice." To our God we lift up one voice. Bring that. Bring your family's legacy, your history. Lay it before God and say, "This is who I want us to be. This is what I want us to accomplish." I want to close and just pray today, guys. These were the reasons, like I said, overarching reasons. These are very, very large things, but I want you to find your specific spot in these. And if you want two or three, but find one, at least one. Take them all if you have to. I don't know, you know, that's even better for you. Use them all during this fast. But find one that you're going to fast and you're going to pray for these next 3 weeks. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this message. God, I thank you that we have this opportunity, God. That none of us, Father, are living, you know, day to day, God, that we can't miss a meal, God, or that's the end of us, Lord, that we're able to bring our flesh into submission. And God, we're able to do a spiritual checkup, God, and then to go through all these things, Lord, where you answer, to pray, to bring these things before you, Father. God, I pray for each father in this room, each mother in this room, God, each child, Lord, that you begin to start family legacies in this church. God, that you said they can lay the foundation for generations to come, God. If they're willing to fast, God, if they're willing to humble themselves, if they're willing to pray, if they're willing to say, we're going to follow after Christ with everything that we have, God, you're going to lay that foundation. It's going to be a legacy, God, that goes far beyond our lifetimes, beyond our children's lifetimes, God. We're going to start it here, Lord. God, let us look back to the beginning of 2015 and say, something started there. Something started in my family. Something started in my life. Some promise of God I dug back out. Something started there. We pray, God, for your strength to do it. We pray for you to answer us, Lord. These next 21 days as we kick it off, Lord, we pray for you to answer us. We spread it before you like the king, God, the king of Judah, and we say, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We ask you to answer us, Lord. Let our God speak to us. So I thank you again, Lord, for our humble hearts, Father. God, I thank you for hearts willing, Lord, to go on this fast as a church, willing, Lord, to do these 21 days and to seek you. And we ask you corporately as well, God, as a church, I ask you to take us into a greater thing in 2015. God, extend our arms even further. God, let us spread the gospel. Let Sunday mornings become a time of the lost being saved. Let us bring, God, those into your house, Father, and then you meet with them. Because you're willing to do it, Lord. Make us willing to bring them. I thank you again, God, for your message. I thank you again for speaking to us today. And it's your name we pray. Amen.